Menards has everything you need for your next big project. Update the lighting in your garage or workspace with our great selection of utility lighting options. The High Bay Light features a 5,000 Kelvin color temperature, wet rated, and a long life over 100,000 hours, so you'll have light for whenever you need. Get the 11 inches High Bay Light for $89.99. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Please leave a message.
Hey, it's me.
Well, it's you.
San Diego, you, that is. Ugh, I'm here at the beach, sun's out, everything's looking up. Oh my gosh, the food. We love the spice. Oh, and oh, that show was so fun. Sand in my shoes and all. Anyway, wish you, I, me, we hope to see you soon.
Discover the best you at sandiego.org. Funded in part by San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Now on Documentary and Drama on News Talk, Aisling Maloney brings us along on her move to Australia and asks why thousands of young people from across the country are making the move down under, in home or away, living the Irish-Australian dream.
What is the Australian dream?
Chasing the really lovely weather and the beach.
Meet new people. Start your life over again.
Just kind of the wholesome vibes.
I'm sweating. It's hot. I'm out running. I'm running down the road here and I pass a sign that says, "Watch out, koalas about." Because I'm running down the road in rush hour traffic at Byron Bay, New South Wales, Australia.
My name is Aisling Maloney. I'm 28 years old and I'm from Dungarvan in County Waterford. In 2024, I moved to Australia, like many thousands of Irish people my age. How original. I had a permanent job working as a political correspondent with a national newspaper.
The woman with the story is Aisling Maloney, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Aisling, good morning.
Sincere thanks to Hugh O'Connell and Aisling Maloney.
I rented an apartment in Dublin for €750 a month, shared a car with my boyfriend, and managed to squeeze in some nice trips and holidays abroad each year while continuing saving. But I threw it all in the bin to move down under and see what life is like where the grass appears to be greener. You're probably asking why. Well, so am I. Let's find out, what is the Australian dream? Walking on a dream. And I couldn't possibly claim to live in Australia without seeing some of it. So after touching down, we spent a month travelling down the east coast to see the Great Barrier Reef, koalas and the Gold Coast, ending up in Byron Bay. While drifting in and out of a nap on the beach, I hear a busker nearby playing Dirty Old Town, Wild Mountain Time and a bit of U2. His name is Fintan Callaghan. You can't get more Irish than that, I thought.
I'm waiting for you.
I grew up a hippie kid. You know, I grew up a full hippie kid. I think I had my first joint when I was like eight years old.
The music is inspired by his Irish parents who moved to Australia. But he ended up in Byron Bay because his mother brought him to live in a commune outside of the town in the 70s.
My father's from Belfast, my mum's from Dublin. They came out in 1966 together. Then mum and dad separated and dad went to Tasmania. Mum went to Nimbin and joined the hippie movement. That was 1973 was the Aquarius Festival out at Nimbin.
Yes.
My mum was there for that. I have vague memories of it, very vague. I think I was 5 years old. And Mum bought into the commune, a whole lot bunch of hippies, they all put in $200 and bought a commune called Turnbull Falls. And I lived out in the commune there till I was, about 9 or 10.
You remember going to Nimbin with your mum?
I do, yeah. Well, I have memories of a guy on a tightrope, walking this tightrope from tree to tree. It was so colourful.
Yeah.
So Nimbin was a... I have fond young memories, but Nimbin changed pretty quickly. So it went from that utopian hippie thing to deteriorated pretty quickly.
Okay.
I never really had aunties, uncles or that sort of family connections. Okay. I suppose like a lot of immigrants that come to Australia, you break those ties.
While my decision to move out here has nothing to do with joining a hippie commune, in some ways I am jumping on a bandwagon of sorts. In 2023, there were 94,000 Irish people living in Australia. That's just 2,000 shy of the all-time high of 96,000 in 2013. And now I'm one of them.
We're all in the same boat. All of our kids are coming along. And I hear them talking. They're saying, there's nothing for us here. We're leaving.
I'm going to get people's children back from Australia. That's what my entire reason for getting into politics is, making sure that we have a country for young people.
At the end of 2024, there were over 21,000 Irish people in Australia on working holiday visas, three times the 7,000 granted in 2019. This is the visa I'm on. It's an arrangement between the Irish and Australian governments in place since 1975. Anyone from Ireland aged between 18 and 35 can apply, and I got mine approved instantly. It seems like many of those people on working holiday visas are in and around the area of Coogee in Sydney's eastern suburbs. And once you're there for 5 minutes, it's not hard to figure out why it's called County Coogee, because there are so many Irish accents.
Sunrise down in Coogee Beach. It's just, I don't know. We haven't actually done it for a while. So
yeah, dragged out of bed this morning. But no, I mean, it's just very refreshing. You can see yourself. I mean, everybody's up and at it, and it's quite...
Nice start to the day.
Yeah, it's quite motivating, really.
Thomas Breen, 26, and been here 3 years.
Grace McAndrew, 27, from Mayo, and I've been here 2.5 years.
Okay, so you guys have been here a good long time at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the Australian dream? Why are so many Irish young people coming here and staying here a good bit, it seems, like for the two of you?
Just weather's better. I think it's kind of easier to make a living.
Yeah, actually, even for us out here, we can live very comfortably within our means. Like, you know, a 20-minute walk from the beach, a nice apartment for ourselves, you know, very comfortably. But like at home, that's just obviously not really feasible.
You can get around everywhere. Public transport's class. If you want to head out, you can head out, and plenty of like places to go running or amenities and stuff like that.
Even close to Asia and stuff like that to travel. If you have places you want to see around here, it's a lot more easy to access them than at home.
Did anything push you away from home? Why did you come in the first place?
Not much going on at home. It's kind of quiet enough.
And what do you guys do out here?
I'm a teacher.
Okay.
Qantas Fair.
My name is Georgia. I'm a mental health nurse from Croom, County Cork. Well, I suppose we just came for the sunshine, just to travel and to spend the year doing something different.
What are the main benefits of working here versus at home?
The shifts are, I usually do from 7 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, and you have the evening off to go to the beach and stuff. So it's just a great quality of life. Before, we were just used to it and the 12-hour shifts were great, but definitely like the 8 hours is definitely something to consider.
My name is Chloe. I'm from Clonmel, County Tipperary, and I'm a mental health nurse. I think the main reason for moving is it just felt like every day was the same at home. Like, you just go to work and then your weekends, there's not much to do. Whereas here, it's just a way better lifestyle. If you're doing the 8-hour shifts, like I go to the gym in the morning, I might go for a coffee on the beach and then go to work, or like vice versa. If you're on in the morning, you have the whole evening. Another perk is like that you can work casually. That's one of the main reasons. And like, if we do need to travel, we can just travel whenever we want. I have a good few friends that came for just the year, like took the career break and went back, and they were happy with that. But then there's a few I know that have got PR and they're happy to stay here. So I don't know, it's mixed.
Everyone comes here for 12 months, but I don't know anyone who went home after 12 months.
the time here just goes so quickly because of travelling and stuff, that a year isn't enough. It's really not enough.
My name is Kira Buckley. I'm from Cork in Ireland, and I've been out here since the end of March 2024.
And what is the Australian dream, do you think?
Well, I'll see this at 8 o'clock on Coogee on the Rainbow Steps after doing sunrise yoga.
Chasing the really lovely weather and the beach life, and having a better work-life balance is a huge thing as well.
Mm.
I think the Australian dream, it's not just the Australian dream. I think you could do the Australian dream at home, but unfortunately the weather just isn't with us. But I think it's the mindset. I think it's people here, they get up early, they exercise, they're healthy, they go for swims, everyone's in really, really good condition and shape. But I think it's the mindset behind that. I think people at home, because the weather is bad, think, oh, I can't get up early because it's going to be rainy. I can't go out for a run because it's going to be cold and windy.
My name is Anna Walker. I'm from Dublin. I'm 28 and I'm here just under 9 months now. Like, I came here for the beach. Like, I wanted to live by the beach. I love the sunrises, just kind of the wholesome vibes. If I was still living at home, I was ready to like experience a bit of like living. Yeah, independence for sure.
My name is Charmaine Stars. I'm from Finglas in Dublin. I am here just over a year now. I think especially after COVID as well, you are literally like, you need to grab life by the balls now and just do it. Like, you don't know what's going to happen, you know? Yeah. So
I feel like at home, they do sell you the dream though that you're going to come over here and make loads of money and like, it's going to be amazing. It is a great lifestyle, but it is really hard at the same time. Like, you don't come over here and make a lot of money straight away. Like, it is, you do have to find a job, meet new people, start your life over again.
It is hard to settle the first couple of months for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I literally had about 20 mental breakdowns.
It was horrible.
honestly, the most traumatic thing of my life. I worked in Smiggle for the first like 3 months, and I was like, I'm 29 after moving across the world. I was like, and I'm standing in Smiggle, like working as a retail assistant, begging for hours. I was like, is this a joke? But then I got the other job, so it's fine.
It took me a while to get a job as well.
Okay.
Because I planned to get a job straight away, and I think it took me 7-8 weeks. And like, I kind of came over and was just, because Sydney's really expensive, that's one thing.
Mm.
So like, I kind of blew through all my savings, just kind of making rent.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Wake up some days, I'm like, nah, I'll just do a year. And then some days I'm like, I'm here forever. But I don't think I'd actually would end up staying here forever, just because I'm obsessed with the lifestyle, but how far away it is from home. Like, I love my family. I miss them so much.
We are so far away from home in Australia, and at times that can be hard. I'm currently over 17,300 kilometres away from my home outside Dungarvan, over a day of travelling. And that's why those who do move here like to quickly find their tribe and what's familiar.
It doesn't matter if you're from Ballygalgett in Down or Ballysaggard in Waterford, Kilmallock in Limerick or Kilmiley in Kerry, St Mullins in Carlow or St Finbar's in Cork.
For many, the GAA is where they flock to get that feeling of home. Where I am in Sydney and across Australia, there's a heap of GAA clubs for expats. From the Bondi Gaels, Gold Coast Gaels, the Sydney Shamrocks, the Perth Shamrocks, the Darwin Shamrocks, to the Central Coast.
Micheál Farrell, I'm from Mullinavat, County Kilkenny. And I've been in Australia going 13 years now.
Micheál manages the Hurlers for Central Coast, and his father-in-law was one of the club's founders, which has been going for 45 years.
So you can't keep a Kilkenny man away from the Hurlers for a long time.
Yeah. And the crack that goes with it, I suppose. Like, the last 2 years over here has been bedlam. Last year we had like 50 hurlers registered last year, and we'll probably have more again this year. So yeah, it's a great time for hurling out here. There's a very strong standard out here.
Mm-hmm.
We've probably about 5 lads actually on our roster this year that have hurled senior intercounty at the top level, and probably another 6 or 7 that have hurled Christy Ring. It's a very high standard over here in Sydney at the moment.
Now, the president of Central Coast GAA Club, Niall's feet are firmly planted on Australian soil with an Aussie partner and a newborn daughter. He was one of over 10,000 who arrived in 2013, driving the Irish presence in Australia to over 96,000, the largest number in recent history.
My name is Niall Kavanagh. I'm from Raystown in Kilkenny. My club would be Loughlin Gaels. All GAA in Sydney is mainly based around the eastern suburbs now. where all the Irish live. And I got involved in 2014 just as a player, just because I essentially, when you move to Australia, you have a group of friends and you're doing a certain thing, but they all went home after a year, so I was sort of looking for friends. We just have three teams. We don't have a men's football team. Reasonably small as a club, but we're mighty.
Mighty.
Yeah. And we have our Gosborne tournament, which is normally in March, is the oldest GA tournament in Australasia. The club is really good. Like, there's been a lot of relationships. I've seen plenty of babies and marriages. And yeah, I've been to, I think, three weddings. It's a great way to, like, keep your Irishness as well. Like, I mean, you're a very long way from home, so it's nice to have something that you can, you know, just make you feel at home, really, like.
On the unfamiliar streets of the Rocks in Sydney, any Irish will be drawn to the familiar sound of a trad session in full swing under the shadow of Harbour Bridge. One of the most popular places to find proper trad, good Guinness and a taste of home in Sydney is the Doss House. It has now expanded to include two venues, the Doss House and Frank Max, and is owned and run by Kira Doran from Bunclody in Wexford.
There wasn't anywhere that I felt did Irish culture justice in Australia. I would love to go to particular Irish bars sometimes, but it would be frustrating. There was an aspect of paddywhackery sometimes in Irish bars abroad. They would kind of take the gimmicky aspect of the Irishness too far, and that was something that I really wanted to challenge and change. That's essentially why the Doss House was born. It'll be open 7 years now in March. I think the biggest goal for me with the Doss House was to be able to have somewhere that honoured Irish culture as it is today. For us in our 20s and 30s, where do we want to come as young Irish people today? We just focused on that, and a couple of years later, the opportunity came for Frank Max, which was also a space in the Rocks.
How does that feel to have come here and done what you've done with these two venues and made them uniquely Irish in this modern way? And you've done it all as an immigrant to this country and a woman.
Yeah. I suppose you don't know what you're getting yourself into. It's like ignorance is bliss a little bit. But I felt once the ball was rolling with things, there was no stopping it. There isn't many weeks, like, you don't really have days off. You work every day. There's a lot of sacrifices that you end up making. But I think when you're on a mission and you're passionate about what you're doing, and when you're getting great feedback, you know, it kind of drives you to keep going. I think I've always went out of my comfort zone in Australia. Not just with these businesses, but in other things that I have done and courses and study. And I don't know if I would have been brave enough with maybe all the eyes back home. Yeah. It feels like home for us here. You know, I've been here 15 years. When I want that little bit of home, these are the only places that I would want to come to, you know. There's not many places that you can come and they have full trad sessions a couple of nights a week and music every night and Irish products and Irish team members, good Guinness.
Which is hard to find
it's
in Sydney.
It's hard to come by.
Australia can feel like a lonely place when you're so far away from home, but for me it has always seemed like a home away from home, as my sister Niamh lives in Perth with her husband Anthony O'Brien from Clonmel and their two kids Connor and Orla. Scratch that, in the time of making this documentary they've had another child. Little Emer arrived in 2024.
Hello!
Hi,
hello. Oh my god, you look great, you're not pregnant anymore.
God. Oh, you can go in the front.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you're so small.
There.
Oh my god, she's so beautiful. Oh, look at her delicate little hand.
My name is Niamh Maloney. I've lived in Australia for 13 years. I'm originally from Dungarvan, County Waterford, and I'm your sister.
So you've lived in Australia for 13 years. You came here with a job to Perth on your own.
Yes.
What was that like, coming here on your own and setting up life here? And then also looking back on that 13 years later, did you think you'd be here 13 years later?
When I came, it was 2011. and I didn't know anyone. I was lucky. I emigrated over into a position in an Irish company that also had offices in Perth, Western Australia. Not knowing anyone, it was daunting, obviously, at first. Perth is quite different. A lot of people grow up here, live here, and don't leave here. So it was hard kind of meeting actual Perth Western Australian people. So yeah, I think it was quite isolating at the start, but there's a really good Irish community here. Luckily, I met my now husband in the first week of arriving here. We met through the company that we both worked for. And yeah, that's probably what's kept me here for 13 years, is that I found someone to share it with and actually build a life.
And also for context, you leaving Ireland wasn't a big deal for you because you studied abroad, you lived in South Africa, then Abu Dhabi. But why Australia? What drew you here? What made you accept the opportunity here? And what's kept you here?
It always has seemed like quite an amazing tropical place that was quite safe. Mm. That, you know, you'd a lot of opportunity here. There was lots of people doing quite well out in Australia that were Irish.
What was the moment where you realised you weren't going to come home from Australia?
Oh, that's a good question. Because there is always a turning point in any country that you live where you actually, it feels like home. And I remember even in Abu Dhabi when I worked there prior to coming to Australia, I did feel like that at one point. Mm. The job that I was in actually was talking about moving me to Houston in 2014. That was a big kind of like, oh, I didn't actually want to leave. So I think it was probably 2014 when I realized I wanted to do Australia. I wanted to stay here.
Are you wondering if her children have Aussie accents? Brace yourself, mate. I'll be back in a bit.
G'day, mates. My name is Connor O'Brien and I am Australian. Aisling is my auntie. I'm going to teach her some Australian slang. Avo is an avocado. Ambo is an ambulance. Stinger is a jellyfish. Tradie is a tradesman or woman. Doggo is a documentary. Straya is Australia, mate.
You're listening to Home or Away, Living the Irish-Australian Dream on Documentary and Drama on Newstalk.
Introducing the new album Sounds of San Diego, featuring all-time tracks like Beachside Bliss. And don't forget about the buzz of Big City Cruisin'.
Cheers!
Ever tasted sound? Throw on Calibaja and hear for yourself. All these happy sounds and more are waiting for you in San Diego. Visit sandiego.org today. Call now and receive the bonus track, funded in part by the San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with FELC, the Fidelity Enhanced Large Cap Core ETF. Unlike passive ETFs, FELC is run by a team of experts to adapt to market conditions and pursue upside potential wherever it's hiding. And while you get the potential outperformance of an actively managed fund, you can still buy and sell it on your terms, just like any other ETF. Discover FELC, the Fidelity Enhanced Large Cap Core ETF, part of Fidelity's suite of active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/FELC. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE SIPC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss.
For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and in any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea, just $3. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
You're listening to documentary and drama on News Talk. This is Home or Away, living the Irish-Australian dream.
While many people come here in search of the Australian dream, life by the sea with sunrise, good weather and adventure isn't possible every day. There comes a time when fun employment ends and you have to work to finance all of this. Who knew? As part of the working holiday visa, people have to find work in a regional part of Australia, either in agriculture or hospitality, far away from the metropolitan areas for 3 months. 26-year-old Sinead Clifford from Waterville in County Kerry documented her experience of living in a rural town in Queensland on TikTok for 88 days.
Let's spend a day in the life working as a potato farmer.
It is day 23 of my 88 days regional work in Australia, and I'm working as a barmaid, but I had today off and I got asked to work in the farms.
It's actually so hard not to think about how much my life has changed.
My name is Sinead Clifford. I'm 26 years old. I'm from Waterville in County Kerry, and I moved out to Australia in September this year, well, last year, 2024. I spent 10 days in Sydney, and then I moved up to Queensland to do my regional work straight away. I hadn't lots saved, and I hadn't planned to come to Australia, so I thought my best option was to do my regional work, and then that I might be a little bit more employable as well when I come down to Sydney. So I did my regional work in a bar in Atherton in Queensland, and it was called the Barron Valley Hotel.
And tell me about where you were, I suppose. Explain to people how rural it was.
So I think when we come from Ireland, we actually don't realise how massive Australia is. I definitely didn't. So when we flew up from Sydney, it was a 2.5 hour flight. It has a different time zone. It's hilarious. So it's like an hour behind Sydney. Far away, it's very rural. But obviously I come from kind of a rural town in South Kerry, so it wasn't that much of a difference. But I feel like maybe the people themselves are very different to like the super metropolitanised people that I was used to when I was living in Dubai, or I've been living in cities really since I was like 21. So it was a bit of a culture shock when I landed in, and people are definitely maybe not as, I don't know, I don't want to be rude, but the people were so lovely, but it's just, yeah, they're definitely a little bit, I felt like I stepped into the 1950s bit.
You chronicled your regional work on TikTok with a day in my life of regional work.
Let's spend a day in the life working together on a rose farm.
Tell us about a kind of average day in the life when you're on regional work, what you did.
So I did 88 days of consecutive vlogs on TikTok because I thought it was something interesting. And obviously I think people don't realize what it's like, or don't want to, the people want to know all the time now, like what's it going to look like if I go? And I just thought it'd be interesting. And even just for myself, it kind of gave me the motivation to make something of every day, so that I made sure that I had something to vlog and that I wasn't just lying in bed all day. Basically, we were all living in a hostel together. So maybe there was like 50 other Irish people living all together. We all shared a room. So it's like the conditions are really, they're just like, they're very intense, I would say. So you're sharing a room, you're living with 50 other Irish people, which is lovely because we're all in the same situation. But it's obviously very intense as well on the social battery. So like when you're not socializing with your friends in the hostel, you're downstairs in the bar talking to the locals. So I definitely just concentrated on my fitness and my wellness while I was there as well. It was kind of my time to like reset and to really focus on my fitness. So it was a great way to kind of get away from everything as well. So in the morning, depending if I was working in the evening or not, I would just go for a long walk around beautiful tablelands. And yeah, it was really nice, especially for the first 8 weeks I was there. I just tried to make the most and like see the best out of it, because obviously the conditions are like aren't ideal, especially when I was used to living in like a fab apartment in Dubai. I was had a manager role, and then suddenly I'm in this random town in Queensland working as a barmaid, sharing a room. It was just a bit of a culture shock. So, but again, I'm from South Kerry, so like
you know, I'm never too far. I'm never too far from the country.
Oh my God. And tell me, so I suppose a lot of people have said that to me, Australia humbles you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. There's definitely some humbling involved, which is great because I think I need to be taken down a peg or two after Dubai when everything's like on your fingertips.
Or you were saying to me earlier that it was nearly easier for you to come here than stay at home.
Yeah.
Explain that. Tell me about that.
So I don't know. It's obviously I'm from a rural part of Ireland, and all my, like a lot of my friends, both that I've made in college and that are from secondary school, are abroad. So especially if I went home to South Kerry now, like I'd be hanging out with my parents every day, I think, because I don't know who I'd be hanging out with. There's obviously still a few at home, but like my close friends are abroad. So like,
in Australia or?
Yeah, most of them are in Australia or Dubai. So it would have been really hard, I think, just to move home and then get set up. I suppose we're obviously still very young as well. I'm 26 and I want to see as much of the world as possible. But I think the thought of staying at home in Ireland is a little bit scary, especially like when you're living in South Kerry, there's nowhere really to rent that isn't extortionate. So I would just be living with my parents, which would feel like a bit of a step back.
Back in Sydney, with so many backpackers looking for work, it's not always the easiest to find.
So I'm just walking back from the library now. I was there all morning applying for jobs. I've applied for probably about 100 jobs at this stage.
Hey mother, how are you? Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm down here at the beach with Aisling. We're doing our little interview.
Okay.
Connor Kilbridge's parents lived in Australia at his age and became citizens. And when he started to dream about a life down under for himself, an Australian passport was waiting for him.
My name is Connor Kilbridge. I'm 24 years old and I'm from Abbeyfield in Limerick, and I've been out here since the end of September. It is now the beginning of January, so just over that 3 month mark. It's always something that was on my radar, and it got to a stage once I graduated college, I got to go out and work a bit. I wanted to just have a bit of experience before leaving the country. I knew I wanted to immigrate abroad basically, and I said, well, what are my options? I'm lucky in my situation that it was a lot easier. I have an Australian passport because of my parents when they were out here. No work restrictions, no life restrictions. I can live anywhere here, anywhere in New Zealand forever. My kids will inherit it, yeah. Like all those kind of things. So a very lucky situation.
It's kind of like history repeating itself.
It is,
your
yeah.
parents came out here similar age, you're out here
yes.
now. So they obviously had no issue with you coming.
Yes, no, I think there was always a thing in the back of my head, and just like talk around home, that Australia was a land where there's great opportunities, there's a great work-life balance. I'm lucky that I also have family over here, so I know it's somewhere that I would be looked after. So they've always been a great push, that it was never like, oh my God, he's going.
Yeah.
They were like, you need to go.
You were obviously saying the way like, it was a lot easier for you because of the citizenship thing.
Yep.
But it's still hard to settle in here, get a job.
Yep.
You obviously didn't grow up in Australia.
Uh-huh.
You might not have Australian work experience. So tell me about that. Has that been difficult?
Definitely has. When I first came, I suppose I had this idea in my mind. I just finished, I got my 1-1 in marketing in college, and then I did a year of work in Ireland in sales and marketing, and I had the citizenship, and I was like, I'm going to walk into a job. They're going to be beating down my door saying, we want to employ you. So I came over here with a really skewed view. I had so many people being like, oh, you have citizenship? Oh, you count as Australian? You're going to get a job, no problem. It's going to be so much easier. And I am looking for that kind of like corporate office level job. And I've definitely found it tough. So when I first started, I've been doing kind of 2 part-time casual work jobs, the same way a lot of Irish over here on a visa are. It's very temp work. It's good wages. Like you're able to survive in it, but it's not very like stable, let's say.
Yeah.
I gave up my job search for something serious just before Christmas because I was like, no one's going to be hiring then. And then I've started up again. So I actually was in the library this morning, updating my CV, sending out CVs everywhere. And it seems a bit endless. Like there's great opportunities and there's a lot of jobs out here, but the pool of talent for it is equally just as large. So you're applying for jobs that have like 300-400 applicants. And I mean, I'd say I don't hear back from 95% of people, and the 5% I do, it's a no. So, so far, it's definitely been hard as well. Everyone tells me that it happens at some stage, everyone gets sorted. So I'm hopeful for that, but it's definitely a hard process for me as well. And I thought I ticked all the boxes coming over.
Hey, listen up. I'm going to tell you exactly how I got $141,000 a year FIFO mining job within 28 days of landing in Australia.
There is a perception that people coming to Australia can make big bucks, but it's not without hardship. Australia is considered one of the most heavily mined countries in the world. Mining companies need workers, and lots of them, in extremely rural locations. Cal McElwain from Lisburn in Northern Ireland moved to Australia in 2023 to coin it working in FIFO and fund his trips across Asia and New Zealand. The definition of work hard, play hard.
FIFO stands for fly in, fly out. And it's really, really big in Australia. I will get flown to some big project that some big company has going on in somewhere in rural Australia. And I will be put onto this like little workers kind of village. And I was doing a 3-in-1 swing. So that's working for 3 weeks in a row and getting 1 week off. And you're doing 12-hour shifts every single day. So 21 days in a row of 12-hour shifts. So you're working loads and loads of hours. But whenever you're up there, like, the costs are so, so, so low. Everything is just there to enable you to just keep working on this project. And it'll be anywhere in rural Australia, as I say. And yeah, you're pretty much just, you'll go up, do your swing, and then you'll come back to, well, in my case, it was Perth. And then in your week off, you can do whatever you want. You just need to be back at the airport, ready to go back up to site for your, whenever your week off is over. So I started working at the very, very start of June. Mm-hmm. I then worked the whole way through to April again. So I worked for 9 months out of the year, because I took 2 months off for Christmas, and in those 9 months I earned $141,000.
Necessity is the mother of invention, or for people moving to Australia, reinvention. After several years working as a teacher and playing inter-county hurling with Waterford, Stephen Daniels decided it was time for a fresh start and moved to Sydney with his partner Aoife in 2017.
We were kind of pondering that decision, myself and my partner Aoife, for a long time, but I suppose commitments to GAA and commitments to hurling probably delayed that decision. So played hurling at Waterford, and we decided after the 2017 All-Ireland final that we were going to make the move. It was kind of a now or never moment.
What it means to both of those guys, I'm looking over here at John McLann, he's heartbroken, and I'm heartbroken for the people of Waterford.
An amazing times, but I just felt like there was more for me in the pond to explore in regards to travel, experiences, a new chapter in my life and my partner's life, and we just went for it.
After several years working in construction, Stephen Daniels set up his own business, Align 56 Coaching, where he helps people by focusing on positive psychology and lifestyle.
The reason I'm here is the lifestyle, and I'm sure that a lot of people who moved to Australia will say that work-life balance, but I can categorically say after 7-8 years of living in Sydney and Australia that the work-life balance is not like anywhere I've seen in the world, and a different dynamic on life. A lot of males can come out and get very, very mixed up with the Australian dream in regards to working in industries, let's mention construction, where they might start chasing the dollars and realise, okay, I'm on a good wicket here, and next thing before they know it, they've been chasing it for 3, 4, 5 years. Would you call that the Australian dream of not having them experiences and working 70, 80, 90 hours a week, double shifts? I don't know. A lot of Irish, I can see it with my work with Align 56. A lot of them come from the construction industry that might have suffered that for a few years. I know that happened to me for a while as well.
During his time in Australia, Stephen got the phone call that anyone abroad dreads. Stephen's mother, Jackie, had suddenly passed away.
One of the most difficult things I have dealt with, they would have to be illnesses from people at home, be it my own family situation with the passing of my mother, and even my partner Aoife, whose dad was very sick at a period of time during COVID. You have to be very aware, Aisling, that the rug can be pulled underneath you at any time as an expat, whether it's a family incident, whether it's a friend, whether you have to go home for a funeral or an event.
Alan Humphreys works with the Irish Support Agency, which helps Irish expats in Australia through difficult scenarios like this.
And it was set up really to be that kind of, I suppose, an organisation on the ground in Sydney and New South Wales to foster that sense of connection to home. Fortunately, we do experience death here in Australia for Irish nationals, and we work very closely with the Consulate of Ireland here in Sydney, and we work together with them and the Kevin Bell Association to do repatriations, unfortunately, every now and then. That's the hard part of it. It is, generally speaking, young lives cut short, or young lives, you know, really impacted impacted by accidents and injury. A big focus of what we do here for, I suppose, the new generation and that are coming out is we're that safety net for them.
Now, back to the beach. My happy place. One of the big bonuses of living in Australia is the perception that it has a better work-life balance. For example, today my alarm is set for 5 a.m. I'm getting up for sunrise yoga on the beach.
Smallest ball you can think of. Squeeze everything in tight. Give yourself one last big hug. Take a deep inhale in. And on your exhale, release your body down towards the earth.
We're standing here on Dolphins Point beside Coogee Beach in Sydney. It's 6 o'clock. The sun has just come up over the horizon. The yoga class is set up here on the grass. And I'm here with Ella Colgan, the yoga teacher. Ella, tell me, how long are you in Australia? And what on earth brought you to this glorious situation where you're able to teach yoga in this setting?
Well, thank you. It's lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming to class. But yes, I came to Australia over 8 years ago now. So yes, me and my fiance moved over when we were so young, only 22, 23, on a holiday visa, just wanted to live that Australian dream. And we came over just both working in construction and marketing, started out of uni, wanted to make a name for ourselves. And then just after years working here and working towards that permanent residency, once we finally got it, we decided to follow our passion. So my partner, he moved into videography and I moved into yoga. I just fell in love with it when I came over here. I think it's the community, especially Coogee itself. It's such an Irish, I don't want to say stronghold, but it's such an Irish base. Yeah. There's so many people. It's such a beautiful community. For myself and my partner, I'd say the Australian dream is opportunity. What brought us over here was the guarantee of work. And then not only that, once we became permanent residents, we've both left our jobs and have managed to run successful businesses mm-hmm. for over a year and a half. And you saw this morning, there's other yoga teachers, there's other Pilates teachers out here, and we still can draw in a crowd, a community. You can still make something happen with very little, which I think is so inspiring. Whereas at home, you come from smaller communities, there's more competition. Whereas here, I feel like there, you can be one of many and still do well.
While I dabble in a bit of sunrise yoga, swimming is what's getting me out of bed before dawn here. And after a bit of asking around, I learned that an Irish woman, Caroline Finn, was running a Saturday morning swim club in Coogee.
I'm videoing their entry to the water.
Oh, let's go, ladies.
If anyone gets tired of anything, just tell the person beside you that you're getting out, okay?
So my name is Caroline Finn. I moved to Australia 10 years ago. Me and my best friend, we travelled around Southeast Asia, New Zealand first, and then we arrived in Australia December 2014.
And you were only coming for 6 months?
Yeah, my best friend, she was coming for like 2 years, and I was like, I'm going for 6 months and I want to go back. I want to study, go back to university. So 6 months, I said to her. I just warned her. I was like, that's all I'm going to stay. And then that 6 months has turned into 10 years.
Wow, okay.
So I was a dental nurse back home, came out here, was a dental nurse. But as a part-time job at home, since I was 16, I always coached swimming lessons. I was a lifeguard, coached swimming lessons. So I always kind of done that on the side, like part-time. So when I came out here, I was here maybe 3 or 4 years working as a dental nurse. And the football team that I was with at the time, we all decided to do a triathlon. So there's about 50 of us. So we raised money for a charity for a hospital at home. And but in this 50 of us, there was like 20 complete non-swimmers. Anyway, I ended up being like the coach for everyone, like, or whatever. So it was a bit of a joke, kind of. But that's, it kind of kicked things off. So everyone loved the swimming and that. And then I started up the Saturday swims. I was like, okay, I'll give this a go. That's like a free group for anyone to join. But just that you're a confident swimmer or able to swim X amount of distance before you get into the ocean. But so that's how it all started. And then those Saturday swims became bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they get smaller and then they get bigger again, you know. And it's like the amount of people that I've seen come and go, and like a huge thing for me, and I think this is like so surreal, but like when I teach my lessons and I'll have people come in and my first question is, I'm like, okay, what do you want to get out of it, or what's your ultimate goal? And like they mightn't be able to swim, or they might be complete beginners, and they just say to me, they're like, oh, my goal is to join the Sharky Saturday swim group. and then I just think, I'm like, wow. So that's how much it's grown. I feel like I'm living the Australia dream now, but I'm here 10 years.
Okay.
So it took time. Like, I loved dental nursing, but to go back to it, no. Traveling in a Friday combi
on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. Many Irish down under have made the Australian dream a reality and will continue to do so. But of the thousands that have left Ireland in recent years, how many will stay?
Everyone comes here for 12 months, but I don't know anyone who went home after 12 months.
Like, I loved growing up in Ireland, and like long term, if I was to have a family and settle down, I think that's the only place to do it.
And there's a few I know that have got PR and they're happy to stay here for long term. So I don't know.
Oh yeah, eventually go home.
Australia is known as the lucky country, but there are plenty of ups and downs still to come in my Australian dream. I'm working full-time now. We have an apartment. Will it be for life? I can't answer that while my mother is listening. But while I decide, I'll catch you on the water. And hopefully not in an episode of Bondi Rescue.
Home or Away, Living the Irish-Australian Dream was produced and presented by Aisling Maloney. An editor and executive producer was Aoife Kearns. For more, see newstalk.com.
Curb your cravings this winter with My Mochi Ice Cream. Rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, soft dough. My Mochi Ice Cream is gluten-free and comes in tons of amazing flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream. Your taste buds won't believe it's only around 70 calories per piece. Indulge in the joyfully chill flavors of My Mochi Ice Cream today. Look for the purple box of My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a store near you.